Welcome to Cooking in the Dark.
The kitchen. I will go to the kitchen. And although some recipes I cannot read, still I'm sure I can do everything I need. This show, Cooking in the Dark, it is the key. He's a mighty talkative Texan. You know Cheryl, she tells him so. I know Dale Campbell would like to welcome you to this here show.
Cooking in the Dark is a presentation of Blind Mice Mega Mall at www.blindmicemegamall.com.
Holy schmoly, guacamole!
Welcome to Cooking in the Dark. This is Cheryl Cummings, and I'm going to introduce to you the man who proves to us every week that you don't need sight to cook dinner tonight, Dale Campbell.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Here we are on a, late November.
I know. I think we're, what, 2 or 3 weeks away from Thanksgiving?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Two weeks. Almost there.
I can't believe it. What happened to, it seemed like they just announced COVID was coming. What happened?
I'm quite ready to see 2020 go by.
I think we all are. Yeah, somebody had posted a meme with a time change, and they were like, really? We get an extra hour of this godforsaken year? I mean, personally, I filed a couple complaints with Mother Nature about all these crazy hurricanes.
And they in November, they
I know, the rule is November, you're done, period. Yeah. You're out of man.
I think they've run out of, like, A through Z. Now they're into, like, the Greek alphabet or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
we're
that.
Way into the Greek alphabet. We're already down to Ida, I think.
Yeah.
Iota, that's where we're at next.
Wow.
Poor Nicaragua, they're keeping on. I'm like, woo, that's a thing. But it is what it is. Welcome to 2020, man. Yeah. So here comes Thanksgiving.
Yep.
I'm not sure what plans are for everybody. We are just staying low key. It's probably just going to be us and our neighbors, so no big production this year.
Right.
I mean, we'll still make a couple pies. We're going to talk about making a couple little things here today that would be tasty for you to take. One of them is probably, if you've been to Red Lobster, you know Red Lobster. What do you think about? I know what I think about. Cheesy biscuits.
That can't be good for some place called Red Lobster.
Uh-huh. Actually, we went there for my birthday, and I'd forgotten, you know, COVID, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had a very limited menu, which, I mean, that's okay. I couldn't get my grilled mahi like I wanted, but it's, hey, it is what it is.
Right, but they were open, and you could do
it. Yeah, they were open, and super server. She was good. So it was good. It was all right. Yeah. So, hey, so we've got this cool recipe for these cheesy biscuits we're going to do. And it's kind of an interesting recipe. You want to stick around and listen to this because it shows you the difference between using regular ingredients and using Bisquick. Okay? As far as Simple Simon and all his piemen, I'm using Bisquick. Because I know they use Bisquick at Red Lobster, too. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
And then, time permitting, we're going to also try to get out and make this really awesome sweet potato casserole, which can double. Cheryl, it can either be a dessert or it can be a side dish.
Oh, all right.
It is so good.
Wow.
It's got pecans.
We like pecans.
Brown sugar. Sweet taters.
Love sweet potatoes.
It's got the most important food groups, sweet potato, sweet sugar. sweet.
All right, I'm getting my plate ready.
Okay, hold it right there. I'll be right with you. Give me about an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cheryl's cute. When the first thing she does now, she scrolls through the recipes and sees, how long? Oh, she got burned that one time when we made it all up. And now put it in the refrigerator for 24 hours. She's like, what?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, that was the pumpkin cheesecake, right?
Uh-huh, which was delicious.
Gosh, I was so bummed. I'm like, But yeah, that was
Yeah,
nice.
That was good. That was good. In fact, I think I'm going to make a chocolate chip one for Thanksgiving, just because. We'll see. I don't know. I may not cook at all. That's even better. Tell you what, all you got to do is make a feast for everybody one time, and you realize, man, I don't want to do that again. No, I'm not. I'm not joking. I was so damn tired. Woo! Started at 5:30 in the morning. By the time we ate at 5:30 that afternoon, I was whooped. I couldn't even eat. I was so whooped. But
wow.
It is what it is, man. Yeah. Oh, well, that's cool. That's cool. So, hey, Cheryl, did you hear about the blind man that fell into the well?
No, I did not hear about the blind man who fell into the well.
Yeah, he didn't see that well. Hey, how about, did you hear about the joke with two holes?
No, I'm scared of this one. Go ahead.
Well. All right, courtesy of my mother-in-law. All right, y'all. Hey, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on Cooking in the Dark. We're going to help you get through Thanksgiving with some little sides. They'll be delicious. Cooking in the Dark shows are archived at www.cookinginthedark.libsyn.com. That's www.cookinginthedark.libsyn.com. Go there now and have a listen to an old show. Hey, y'all, I want to tell you about the Danny Boy Stand. Some of y'all have heard about it, others haven't. But it's a stand created by who? Dan. Danny Boy, he got fed up with all the stands to hold your iPhone, you know, stationary while you try to read a document, you know, using Q&R Speak or Seeing AI or any of those things. I use Seeing AI and, man, try to don't breathe or cough when you're trying to scan something. Oh, it's a mess. Now I just set my phone in the top of my Danny Boy, slide my document underneath it, and there it is. It reads it right away. Check it out at DannyBoyStand.com. That's DannyBoyStand.com, or you can also see it at BlindMiceMegamall.com, the Danny Boy Stand. You need it.
Are you looking for a bathroom scale? Well, the mice have the perfect one for you. It's the XL440 Talking Bathroom Scale. With a maximum capacity of 440 pounds, it offers a nice, wide platform for stability and a clear speaking voice. Best of all, it carries a lifetime warranty. It'll be the last bathroom scale you ever buy. Get yours for under 50 bucks. That's right, the XL440 Talking Bathroom Scale. With a lifetime warranty.
Order online or order by phone 866-922-8877.
Now here's more of the show with Dale Campbell and Cheryl Cummings.
All right, y'all, we're back. So, Red Lobster cheesy biscuits. Oh, my goodness, these are so good, Cheryl.
I know. I have
In
to
fact,
tell you.
The girl came back and said, "Do you want more biscuits?" I'm like, "No, I do, but no, I won't, you know, cancel my meal."
But I have to tell, I think I've told you this before, but anyway, I'll tell you again. My brother introduced me to these biscuits, and I went back to Chicago, and he's like, "Oh my God, you got to have these biscuits. They're so delicious." And we went to a mall, and there are lots of like restaurants around, and being my brother, he's like, "I'm not sure."
I don't. One of these sells.
He's like, it's here somewhere. So we're like, we go into this one place and we sat down, and he didn't even like say, "Let's look at the menu." He's like, "Do you have the cheesy biscuits?" They're like, no, we don't sell those." He's like, "Oh, well then I'm so sorry. We're not. We gotta go."
We're not staying.
He's like, come on, put your coat on. Let's go.
And so,
I was so embarrassed. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. He's like, no, it's okay. We're leaving. We're not, you know. And then, so we went from whatever that restaurant was over to Red Lobster, and they had the cheesy biscuits. He's like, okay, this is the place.
This is it.
So we had lunch. We had lunch there. I was like, oh my gosh.
Well, can we get you biscuits? Anything to drink, biscuits.
Yeah.
biscuits. So these are really super easy to make, y'all. And I know at Red Lobster, they use, I'm pretty sure they use the Bisquick method. But here we go. Cheryl's going to read you the regular recipe. We've got two recipes she's going to read you.
Okay.
The first one is the regular one with all the ingredients. The second one is going to show you how few ingredients we get down to just by using Bisquick.
But I think, neither are like totally demanding. So
no, neither are totally demanding.
So you're going to make about 8 biscuits with this recipe. You start off with 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 2.5 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 teaspoon sugar, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/2 a teaspoon of garlic powder, 1 cup of milk, 1/3 cup of butter, heaping 1/2 a cup of shredded cheddar cheese. Ooh, that's all you need.
Okay.
And then if you're going to do Bisquick, which is what we're doing, so here we go. You just need 2 cups of Bisquick, 2 tablespoons of butter softened, 2/3 cup of cold milk, 1/2 a teaspoon of garlic powder, and look at this, heaping 1/2 a cup of shredded cheddar cheese.
Man, that, I love that. Heaping 1/2 a cup of shredded cheddar cheese, y'all, that just means cheese is good, a lot is good, but a whole lot more is better. Heap it on up. So what we've done is we've combined in our bowl 2 cups of Bisquick, and we've cut in our 2 tablespoons of butter.
All right.
Okay. Now we need to add to this our 2/3 cup of cold milk, 'm also going to add in our garlic. Okay. I'm going to mix this up a little bit here.
This is great. I mean, I love this. It's easy.
Yes, it is.
So when you were cutting the butter and the Bisquick together, how did you sort of know when to pour in the milk? Like when you're like, oh, it's done. I've cut all the butter.
When I squeezed it, because I cut it in first and I got my hands in there and started squeezing it together.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of ends up being kind of crumbly is what we come out looking as. But it's similar to like if you cut butter into flour or anything else. It kind of will begin to stick together.
Mm-hmm.
And when you squeeze it, ball it up, kind of like Play-Doh or putty, something like that. So that was kind of the consistency I got. Once I got that, I knew it was time to add the milk. And I'm just using a fork, y'all, to stir this up because it's not going to be real. It'll be smooth, but not super smooth. It's going to be a little bit of a lumpy mixture.
Right. I think in this instance, if you're following the instructions, then it'll all get mixed in. You're not going to have, like, any extra powder stuff left over. Right?
Not any extra parts.
I know.
What are we going to do with this here? A tomato? I don't know. It's yours. You can have it. Okay.
I know. Sometimes I'm experimenting with things. I'm like, ugh. All right, what am I missing? It's not liquidy enough.
Something's up. Okay, so 1/2 a cup of grated cheese.
Right, heaping.
Heaping.
Heaping. Heaping. I thought that would appeal to you.
It does.
You said if 1/2 a cup is good, a heaping half a cup is even better.
Yeah, so this is going to be about a half of a 8-ounce block of cheese.
Okay.
Okay. There's a little bit left over, but that's all right. That'll be a snack.
Snacks are good.
Or we just put it in the fridge. I'll make tacos later, and we can put it on them.
Ooh, tacos are even better.
Tacos work, too. Oh, not Tuesday. I'm sorry. We can't do that. Okay, so here we go. I'm just kind of folding in now the cheese. And this is becoming more and more dough-like to mm-hmm. where it's all kind of becoming a big ball
mm-hmm.
as we're mixing it up. And again, I'm just kind of folding it in with my fork. And I'm kind of scraping down the sides, moving around to 6 o'clock, scraping up to around to 9, back to 12, kind of scooping around. Now, let me get my hands in here and get them a little bit wet so they won't stick to the dough that much. Okay, perfect. So we've got a big, sticky, doughy mess. This could be one big biscuit, boss.
It could be. It could be. I don't know. Why would you want to cut it into 8 pieces?
Yeah, just make one for me. I'll take a gallon of that gravy right there, and we're good. Okay, so I'm going to take a tablespoon, a real tablespoon, big tablespoon. This is the biggest spoon.
Right.
Because you've got a coffee spoon, I guess, what you would call it.
Yeah.
And then a soup spoon. I want one of the big daddy spoons. There it is.
And we're going to put this on, like, parchment paper.
Right, parchment paper.
Right.
On a cookie sheet. On a baking sheet, okay?
Yeah, up until we started doing this, I never used parchment paper. But I know a while ago we made some cookies with parchment paper. I am a believer. I love parchment paper.
Parchment paper is the bomb.
Yes.
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 It is so easy to manipulate when you're doing cookies, especially because you can slide parchment paper right off onto your cooling rack.
Right.
Throw more parchment paper down, and you're ready to go with another batch of cookies in that same pan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're into the industrial cooking, baking. Now, if you're like me, a lot of times I'll just make enough. I'll make the batter and the dough, but I don't bake them all at that one time, like we've talked about before.
How do you store the dough? Because I did that, and then I got a little worried that I had eggs in my dough.
Take the dough, and I use my cookie scoops
mm-hmm.
that I got from Blind Mice, and I scoop out the dough into scoops, and I put them in Tupperware.
Okay.
And freeze them.
Oh, okay.
And I got the idea from, like, all the kids doing fundraisers because they're always selling frozen cookie dough.
Right, right.
I'm like, hey, I can do that. You know, so that's what I do. As a layer fills up, then I just add another layer. I put a piece of parchment paper over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And put another layer of cookies in. So when I get done, my little Tupperware thing is full of cookie dough ready to go.
Right. Oh, I love that idea. Yeah.
Now, you could do the same with these biscuits after you make them.
Mm-hmm.
You could freeze the extra biscuits that you've already baked.
I don't really see that happening, but you certainly
You don't see anything left over.
You could be ambitious like that. Yeah, go right ahead.
That might be an issue at your house, but let me tell you something. Not here, mister. All right. So there we go. All right, into a 450-degree oven.
Oh, yeah, this is a pretty hot oven. But it's only for like 10 to 12 minutes, I think.
Yeah, 10 to 12 minutes. So we're going to have to get busy here because after we pop this in, we're going to make up a garlic butter that we're going to put over the top of these.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there we go. So let's take a quick 5 right here. We'll get everything together for that for the butter to go on top, and we'll be right back on Cooking in the Dark.
You want Cooking in the Dark downloaded to your podcatcher? Here's our address, http://www.cookinginthedark.libsyn.com/RSS. That's Cooking in the Dark, no spaces, all squished together, .libsyn, LIBSYN.com/RSS. And Cooking in the Dark will be delivered directly to your computer. Dale Campbell here with Cooking in the Dark, and let me ask you a question. When you take something out of the oven and you hear a sizzling sound, do you realize it's you sizzling and not the food? When you're grilling, do you find that your finger's getting cooked, not the meat? If so, you need to get some Grips oven mitts, the same ones that I use when I do Cooking in the Dark. These great mitts will not only protect you to temperatures up to 500 degrees, but they also protect you against steam burns and also burns from hot liquids. They clean up real easy. Just wash them off under the faucet or toss them in the dishwasher. The main reason I love them, though, being blind, I can actually identify what I'm touching right through the mitts without getting burnt. Now try that with a great big old cotton mitt. Also, unlike a cotton mitt, these babies are non-flammable, so you won't touch something accidentally and catch on fire. You know where to get them. Visit blindmysmart.com online and order your set of Grips right now. Or, if you can't get online, give them a call.
866-922-8877.
And start taking the sizzle out of yourself and putting it back in the food where it belongs.
Now with more of the show, here's Cheryl Cummings and Dale Campbell.
Welcome back to more Cooking in the Dark.
All right, we're almost there, Cheryl.
We are.
Okay, so let's talk about, we're going to make a little butter glaze that we'll brush on top of our biscuits. Now, some of the recipes I saw said to put it on 5 minutes after they went in the oven. Others said to put it on after you take them out of the oven. Your choice.
Yeah, this one says you take the biscuits out, let them cool for about 3 minutes, and then you put the glaze on.
Okay.
Either way works for me.
I'm good.
All right, so butter glaze, right?
Right.
You need a quarter cup of butter, or, as Dale keeps reminding me, 2 tablespoons, Cheryl. All right, 2 tablespoons or a quarter cup of butter, 1 teaspoon dried parsley, and then 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder and 1/2 teaspoon of Italian seasoning.
So I put all those in. I've been mixing them up here in our bowl. Let's see here. Alexa, how much time is left? Okay, we've got 3 minutes left.
Okay, we can do this.
Our biscuits are done.
We can do this.
So we'll wait. When they come out, we let them cool, and we put our butter on them. We're good to go.
Yeah, this is lovely.
And these are so delicious. And plus these Bisquick biscuits, I mean, you know, Bisquick, man, you can whip up biscuits in a heartbeat. Especially when you want to put a little gravy on them.
This is true.
Mm.
It's a good thing to have a box of Bisquick in your house, I think.
It is. Yeah. And that brings up something, too, I want to point out. Whenever you buy flour, Bisquick, freeze it. Put it in your freezer for 2 or 3 days first before you do anything with it. What that will do is kill any of the eggs, the weevils that are in there, weevil eggs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever had weevils, but man, what a mess. They're you can't really get rid of them because they're so real small little animals, bugs, not animals, that, you know, lay their eggs in the wheat in the fields.
Right.
So when the wheat is processed, the eggs are still in the wheat. And after a while, if you don't use your flour in the house, they will hatch. Then all of a sudden, you've got little bugs all over the place. And man, then they get into everything. So I found them in like fish fry, shrimp fry, you know, boil, shrimp boils, things like that.
Right.
Tony Chachere's, their stuff, found them in those. Of course, flour. So anytime I bring any of that stuff home, even if it's muffin mix, you know, pancake mix, anything, I freeze it.
You just stick it in. Huh.
Freeze it for 2 or 3 days.
Right.
And it kills them. Then you won't have a problem. Don't be getting gross out. They said there's bugs in my flour. Yeah, there are. They're not even hatched yet. They're going to be in your stomach, and then they're going to hatch.
Oh, yuck. Don't go there.
No.
So I signed up. I bought some, oatmeal mixture, whatever. And I have some fruits and vegetables delivered every 2 weeks, right?
Okay.
And I wasn't paying close attention. So 1 week, the first week, boom, oatmeal. Rolled grains or whatever. I'm like, oh, that's nice. So 2 weeks later, boom, another package. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I've got it clicked so that it's coming with every single order.
Oh, okay.
And I was just like, come on. I mean, why didn't they, call me and say, hey, do you really want this every 2 weeks? Who eats this much oatmeal that I need to?
Flex off.
So I had to go back in and unclick it to say no more rolled oats, because I would have had issues with God knows what growing, because I'm like, I can't eat that this fast, and I need it every 2 weeks.
You need to make oatmeal cookies.
I do. And I have.
Hey, our timer just went off.
All right.
Pull these out.
Yeah.
We're going to butter them up. So I've got a little basting brush here that I'm just going to put on the top of these. We got to let them cool just for a minute. But we're looking good. Just touching them, crispy.
Yeah. Cheesy.
They sound hollow. Oh, I bet they are. Yeah. There's a big one right there for you, Cheryl. It's got your name on it.
I'm taking it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It says Cheryl Smith, not Cheryl Cummings. All right. Let me put the butter on top of these, and these dudes are ready to serve, y'all.
Yeah.
So these are Bisquick cheesy red lobster biscuits. Easy peasy. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the other side, and we're going to make a delicious sweet potato casserole. Don't go anywhere. It's Cooking in the Dark. We'll be right back. Hey folks, this is Dale Campbell, and while we're taking a quick break here on Cooking in the Dark, I want to make sure everybody knows about the Blind Bookstop. Braille cookbooks, Braille knitting books, Braille crochet books, Braille poetry, inspirational stories, general help books. There's over 180 cookbooks. Just go to the Blind Bookstop, that's blindbookstop.com, and slip in the side door. Or, as always, you can go to the Blind Mice Mega Mall at www.blindmicemegamall.com. Enter the mall and go to Blind Bookstop to see all their Braille books.
How much does it weigh? I don't know. Don't stray. Go to blindmicemart.com and get yourself the Vox 3000 Talking Kitchen Scale. It's ideal for weighing everything you need in the kitchen, and you can use it to weigh your postage, too. Say hello.
Hello, I'm ready. 1 pound, 6.2 ounces.
Clear, concise, and easy to use. It's the Vox 3000 Talking Kitchen Scale from blindmicemart.com. Best of all, it carries a lifetime warranty. The Vox 3000 Talking Kitchen Scale. Get yours at blindmicemart.com.
Order online or order by phone. 866-922-8877.
Hey everybody, Journey's Eternal Essence has room sprays. That's right, Eternal Essence oil room sprays on sale for $10. Go to journeyseternalessence.com and check them out. You don't want to miss this special.
Now, more of the show with your host, Dale Campbell and Cheryl Cummings.
Woohoo, y'all, we're back. Okay, so now, this next dish, it can either be a side or it can be a dessert. It's that good, man. It's that good. So, I'm going to get started here because we're going to need three to four sweet potatoes. You want about 1 pound and 3/4, about 2 pounds of sweet potatoes for this. So I'm doing three nice large sweet potatoes. First thing I've got to do is peel them and chop them up. So that's what I'm doing right now. I've got my vegetable peeler. I'm using a Y-style peeler, so the blade is actually perpendicular to the handle. which allows me to kind of, I just hold it, the sweet potato in my hand, mm-hmm. and drag it back through like I'm shaving through the sweet potato. And again, with regular potatoes, you can feel where you've peeled it at because it's kind of slick. So that's what I'm doing now, just kind of giving it a feel. This thing is not very symmetrical. It looks like a root. It looks like this thing has been growing in the ground. What's up? So I'm just making sure I've got all the areas peeled. Okay. Got those peeled. All righty. Now, we're going to chop them up. So I've got my favorite little chopping mat here and my sharpened chef's knife. And we're just going to cut these into chunks. One slice, two slices, three. Right now I'm just slicing across the sweet potato and getting big slices, probably about inch and a half slices. Then I'm going to cut these down into just chunks. So they're all about the same size. If you want to make them smaller, you can. The smaller that you chunk them, because we're going to boil these to cook them. So the smaller you can chunk them, the quicker they're going to boil.
And I think, I mean, and similar to if we were making like just, you know, you want to make them the size to be a little consistent because you don't want it so that when you're done, all the tiny pieces are so boiled that they'll just sort of melt away and the big pieces are still not boiled. Speaking from experience, I would say.
I've got some disappearing. I hate it when my sweet potatoes disappear. Okay, into a pot, boil for about 20 minutes. You want to start them off until they come to a boil. Boil them for a couple minutes and then turn them down and let them simmer for about 30 minutes
or so.
You can check them with a fork to make sure they're done. Perfect. Okay. And when they are, which we've already pre-boiled ours. I know, man. You have people like, what? Dale's planning ahead? What's going on? Folks, it's 2020. Weird things are happening.
I know. The unusual is to be expected, yes. But anyway, as you were doing that, can I read sort of the recipe?
Sure.
Or did
or
I
if you
read?
Want to read the recipe instead of sort of the recipe.
Yes, yes.
You can read the whole recipe.
That's a good idea. Here we go. So we start, we need half a stick or 4 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 3 to 4 large sweet potatoes, about 1 3/4 pounds of sweet potato. We're going to peel and cube those. 1/2 cup of milk, 1/4 cup of brown sugar packed, 1 teaspoon pure vanilla extract, 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt, 2 large eggs. So that's what we're going to need for the casserole itself. And now for the topping, 1/2 cup of all-purpose flour, 1/2 cup of brown sugar packed, and again, 4 tablespoons of unsalted butter we're going to melt, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 3/4 cup of chopped pecans.
All right. Okay, so I'm mashing these up, Cheryl. Got my potato masher out. And you want to mash these up pretty smooth. So as it starts off, it's going to be you're going to find the big chunks kind of billowing out around your masher, but as you go more with the mashing, pretty soon it's just a big old mound of sweet tater and goodness. Okay, perfect. Now the good part, we get to start adding everything in. I'm going to add in our butter.
Which we've melted, right?
Yep, plop, gurgle, gurgle. A couple eggs. Tim was telling me you love your air fryer.
Oh, my gosh. I have decided that this, similar to the George Foreman, is the instrument that can revolutionize the cooking for folks who are blind or low vision.
I think so, too. It is a cool little gadget. Cleanup is easy. It does a heck of a job. I've done fish fillets in mine. I did catfish. I've done a chicken pot pie in it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Had to put foil around the edges, but I did a chicken pot pie. Okay. So here we go, Cheryl. I've got everything in here looking good. Here comes our 1/4 cup of brown sugar.
And we're just going to whisk.
Rinse that off. I got a little sugar on my hand. Already sweet enough. Don't want to be too sweet.
The world couldn't deal with it, I'm sure.
I'm telling you what. You know that, and I do, too. Okay. And this is such an easy little recipe here.
Yep.
Okay. So we've got this one about ready to go. We need to get our topping together.
We need half a cup of all-purpose flour, half a cup of brown sugar packed, another 4 tablespoons of unsalted butter melted, a quarter teaspoon of kosher salt, and 3/4 cup of chopped pecans.
3/4 cup chopped pecans. All right. So let's get this butter together here. Now, what are we going to be baking these at, sweetheart?
350.
350.
About 25 to 30 minutes. That's how long we're baking.
Okay. So here goes our butter. That will melt up. It says melted, right? Not softened?
Melted, yes. Melted,
okay. Get that melted. So, there's some flour here.
Oh, yes, half a cup of flour. Oh, this is going to be so delicious. A lot of brown sugar and melted butter. And the pecans. Yay.
I know, pecans.
Delicious.
Okay, so half a cup of flour, half a cup of brown sugar, a little bit of salt, chopped up pecans, butter. Okay.
Yep. I was just thinking about your stepmom, who told us that marvelous apple...
apple dumplings?
Yeah.
Mm.
I just bought some Gila apples, and I remember those were the type she told us to get for that dessert.
Yes. Yeah, Gila's, anytime you're baking, man, do not use... Any apple with the word delicious in it is not.
No, it mushes. It turns into mush.
It's horrible. Fiji are good, or Fuji or whatever they are. I like Granny's, you know, the green apple. That's kind of my apple of choice.
Yeah. Those are nice and tart. I like those in apple pies, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the Honey Crisp are pretty good. So, it's a bummer. The red delicious are like red mush. Or, well, they're not red, but they're mushy if you put
they
them into pie.
They do mush up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
All right, talk to me here. I've got our butter.
Yeah.
Need a little bit of kosher salt.
Yep.
Got our...
About a quarter teaspoon of kosher salt.
Yep. Okay.
4 tablespoons. You did the butter.
Got the butter.
Got the flour.
Got the flour.
You got
the sugar.
You need the pecans. The pecans.
Got the pecans right here. I got to chop them up real fast. That's no step for
and
a stepper, though.
You just need to... Mix it all together.
Put your left foot in. You put your left foot out. Put your left foot in. You shake it all about.
That's such a fun. So you put it all together till it's like, it says moist and the mixture clumps together.
Moist and the mixture clumps together. I can do that.
And then,
we're going to pour all this in our casserole dish, and then we're going to put the topping on over the top of our
taters. Yep, and put everything in the 350 degrees oven for 20 to 30 minutes, or 25 to 30 minutes.
Beautiful.
Or I like your cookie suggestion, because it will be nice to start making some of those things and sticking them in the freezer. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the other thing is, like, man, say you want to bake up 4 cookies real fast for dessert, you know, or whatever. I mean, it's really nice to have them there and that, you know, ready to go. I mean, like I said, when think about schools, when they do those fundraisers, you know, the cookie dough comes frozen.
Right.
And usually it comes ready to be broken off and baked.
Right.
So this is kind of the same thing. Plus, I mean, man, after you get done making all that cookie dough, you really feel like baking for 4 hours? I don't.
Yeah.
Come here. You need to be chopped up a little more. Some of these, I'm just kind of going through the pieces here of our pecans. Because we started with pecan halves. So we're just kind of slowly chopping them down.
Well, I know you're doing it manually, but you could have plopped this into like a food processor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but carefully.
Yeah, well, and then my thought on that was, the amount of time this is going to take,
yeah,
it would take about 4 times that amount to clean the food processor.
That too. Once you've used it, then you now have to clean it.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, that's the thing. If you're going to be doing a lot,
right,
in it, like, man, food processors are great for mixing up cookie dough. Speaking of cookie dough, especially if you're making several, because you can make several batches quickly,
mm-hmm,
and freeze the dough up, and guess what? You got sugar cookies, chocolate chip, oatmeal. Do it, you know. I knew a guy that would do that. He would do all his, he'd mix all his dough one day when he was baking holiday stuff. And then he would, you know, have a weekend where he just baked.
Oh, that's nice.
But everything was already made, already, all he had to do was pull it out, lay it out. You know, like you said, put parchment paper on, put your cookies on it.
And bake.
And bake.
Yeah.
Cookies are done, put them on the cooling rack, take them off, put more cookies on, bake. You know, so, oh well. As we get older, we get wiser.
And we learned that we should read all of the recipe before we start baking.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
Yes, yes. I mean, Tim and I have had this when we first were married, just like, oh, we're going to make these cookies. And then you're like, wait, it's 6 dozen cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, we're just mixing our mixture up here. That's what we want. We want it to be all mixed up well. Want it to be a little bit crumbly.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to get the fork out and get my hands in so I can start getting a hold of this. What I'm doing, I'm just grabbing handfuls of this and just squeezing it all together. You can feel the nuts. You can feel it all. There we go. We're nice and clumped. Okay. Let me go get our pan. Hey, while we take a break real quick here, y'all, we're going to come back, throw this in the oven. Then Mr. Cummings is going to fire up the time machine, and we're going to whip right to the end of the show.
Do what I did and get yourself a 64 gigabyte upgrade memory card from Ultimate Tech Mods. It goes in your Victor Reader stream and all of a sudden, bam, you've got over 50 gigs of storage, of memory, internal memory. No external cards, no more of this, no more of that. It's all in your stream. I've got 10 books right there now, plus 4 magazines, all internally saved on my second generation Victor Reader stream. That's ultimatetechmods.com, ultimatetechmods.com, or See him at Blind Mice Mega Mall.
Hey, everybody. Journey's Eternal Essence has room sprays. That's right. Eternal Essence Oil Room Sprays on sale for $10. Go to journeyseternalessence.com and check them out. You don't want to miss this special.
Now with more of the show, here's Cheryl Cummings and Dale Campbell.
Welcome back to more Cooking in the Dark.
All right, girl, I got my 2-quart casserole dish here. I'm ready to go.
Yes.
Do we need to grease this thing down?
Yes, you should.
Get it. Let me get some Spam. Not some Spam. Spam comes in a can. Shouldn't be confused with Pam. Although it's probably not as greasy as Pam. I mean, Pam is not as greasy as Spam. That's what I meant to say. And I ordered some of that just for the hell of it.
Spam.
During this, yeah, because I was trying to go back to my childhood.
Yeah.
Back when we were fishing and running trot lines and come back to the cabin, Grandma have some Spam and taters, eggs cooked up for us.
Mm-hmm.
Man, something must have changed because Spam just doesn't taste like it.
Doesn't taste, yeah.
Not as good. Okay, so here goes our sweet potato mixture right into our casserole dish. Such a catchy tune that Cooking in the Dark show has, I tell you.
Gets your feet just a-tapping, as they say.
I'm telling you. Gets your feet a-tapping and your tongue a-twitching, man. Okay. Get this spread out. We got our oven at 350, okay? So there's the first step, getting our casserole, we're getting the sweet potato portion of the casserole in. Now we're going to come back with our crumblies, our topping mixture, and we just put that in right over the top. Sprinkle it on over the top. So I'm going to start over here at the right-hand side, and I'm just going to kind of get a handful of our crumb mixture and just kind of move it back and forth in my fingers. Kind of move my fingers back and forth so it just kind of drizzles out as I hold it kind of in the palm of my hand.
Are you going to make sure that, like, every inch of the top is covered, or?
No.
No, so you're just sort
of Yeah, we're going to come pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, what I've done is I made a pass, like, with the base of my hand, my wrist almost, right on the edge of the pan on the right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did the same thing. I got another little handful and started over a little bit and just kind of sprinkled it down, moving down the pan.
Okay.
From the top to the bottom. Then I moved over. I kind of divided the pan into quadrants, about like 3-inch quadrants.
Mm-hmm.
And just sprinkled over. I mean, we're going to be pretty close. It's going to be enough that if you get a spoonful of it, you're going to get some of it. And if you don't want any of it, just bring your plate to me.
I don't know. I love sweet potato. We may have to, like, arm wrestle or something for that.
No, I hook you up. Sweet potatoes are good. I understand. Okay. Bake, uncovered.
Yes.
350.
25 to 30 minutes.
25 to 30 minutes. All right. Okay. Okay, everybody's back. We're good?
We are.
All right. Oh, our sweet taters are done. Perfect timing. Cool, cool. So we're going to pull these out and let them cool. Ta-da. Man, delicious little dish here. And this is one of those ones, too, you can take early, make it ahead of time, and reheat it when you get to your destination if you're taking it somewhere. If you're eating it at home, just grab a spoon and invite Cheryl over. All right, sweetheart.
On my way.
Why don't we run through these recipes real quick? Let's go back to the beginning of the show when we made the cheesy biscuits.
Yes. So I'm going to read all the ingredients, and I'll read the Bisquick ones too.
Okay.
So as I said before, 8 biscuits. If you're making it from scratch, you need 2 cups all-purpose flour, 2.5 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of sugar, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1 cup of milk, 1/3 cup of butter, and then heaping half a cup of shredded cheddar cheese. Say that quickly. And if you're using Bisquick, 2 cups of Bisquick, 2 tablespoons of butter softened, 2/3 cup of cold milk, 1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder, and then heaping half a cup of shredded cheddar cheese. And for the garlic butter glaze, we need 1/4 cup or 2 tablespoons of butter, 1 teaspoon dried parsley, and then 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder and 1/2 teaspoon of Italian seasoning.
So what you need to do for the biscuits is mix up your Bisquick with the cheese, the garlic, all the ingredients there, and then bake those at 450 degrees. And when I plopped them out, I just used a big tablespoon. And I didn't really measure exact size, but I just plopped them out. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you wanted to get crazy, you could use an ice cream scoop to get equal size biscuits, or you could use a cookie scoop or whatever. You know, if you want to make sure all the biscuits are equal size. But it didn't matter to me because I was more interested in eating them. Then after you do the glaze, now your biscuits come out. You want to let them cool for about 3 minutes and then put that little butter glaze. Just use a basting brush and paint that butter glaze mixture over the top of them. Now, another recipe I read, it suggested after 5 minutes of baking, you add the butter glaze and then let them continue baking. And then another recipe said to put the glaze on before you baked them. So you use your discretion. And I think these would be good put on at 5 minutes and then sprinkle a little Parmesan cheese over the top too, but that's me.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
But anyway, these will be a great way. The little recipe we do is right there will make you about 8 biscuits. It doubles easy if you want to make more, you know, depending on how big your crowd is. And again, these are great to make and then freeze. Freeze them and then put them in a Ziploc bag after you freeze them and just store them in the freezer. You want a couple for dinner, pop them out, let them thaw out, or toss them in the microwave to thaw out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy, very simple to do. Very good stuff there. Now, hey, the sweet potato casserole. Like I said, it can either be a side or it can be a dessert, man. It's equally good.
Delicious.
Either way.
So you need 1/2 a steak or 4 tablespoons of butter, 3 to 4 large sweet potatoes, about 1 3/4 pounds of sweet potatoes that you're going to peel and cube because you need to boil those, 1/2 a cup of milk, 1/4 cup of brown sugar packed, 1 teaspoon pure vanilla extract, 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt, 2 large eggs. So that's like your filling. And for the topping, you need 1/2 a cup of all-purpose flour, 1/2 a cup of brown sugar packed, 1/2 a stick or 4 tablespoons of unsalted butter melted, 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt, and 3/4 cup of chopped pecans.
Perfect.
Yes.
Simple, simple, y'all. Boil your sweet potatoes, mash them, and again, you need to boil them for about 20 to 30 minutes. You want to boil them, bring the pot, the water up to boiling, let them boil for 2 or 3 minutes, and then turn the heat down to like medium to simmer, medium low, and you just want to simmer them until they're done. You know when they're done, stick a fork in them, the fork goes in and out very easily. Otherwise, the fork will go in and it'll be stuck and won't be able to come off. You know, they're really hard when you cut them up. After you pull them, drain them, mash them, then add in all your goodies, your milk, your butter, your eggs, your brown sugar, your vanilla, salt. Mix all that up. Pour it in a greased 2-quart casserole dish. Then mix the flour, the brown sugar, mm-hmm. the butter, the all the stuff for your topping. Mix that all up together. It'll be kind of crumbly. Like I said, I just got my hands in there. Kind of mix it up quickly. And then sprinkle that topping over the top of your casserole. Throw it in the oven for 350 degrees, baking at, 20 minutes, 25 minutes?
25 to 30 minutes.
Yeah. 25 to 30 minutes, yeah. Heat it up, warm it up. That's something, too, you can throw together the night before and take. And, you know, if you're taking it somewhere, bake while you're there. Or, yeah, bake it ahead of time, take it warm, or bake it and eat it yourself at home. All right. Hey, don't forget, y'all, the merchants at Blind Mice Mega Mall are would love to have you visit their shops. You know, Anne with Journeys has got all her Christmas stuff on sale. She's got some great Christmas jewelry, earrings, necklaces, jingle bell, bracelets, all kinds of fun stuff. All her room sprays, all her roll-ons. They're all made from eternal, you know, essence oils that are scented. Man, awesome stuff. Check her out. They're all on sale. All those roll-ons and room sprays, $10. And shipping's only $5. Order one thing or 100 from Journeys, and she'll ship it for $5. So check them out. Anyway, y'all, Cooking in the Dark, thank you for joining us. Have a great Thanksgiving if we don't talk to you before then, but we probably will. Cheryl, we're out. AMF.
Cooking in the Dark is a presentation of Blind Mice Mega Mall at www.blindmicemegamall.com.
Cooking in the Dark was produced by THC Productions.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we
Are you or a loved one experiencing vision loss? Unable to read your daily newspapers? Feeling isolated because of blindness? If the answer is yes, Audio Journal can help. Live broadcasts of newspapers and other local publications enable blind, visually impaired, and print-disabled residents of Worcester County to connect with their communities. Newspaper readings, informative programming, education, and entertainment return you to the printed word your vision loss has denied you. For information about Audio Journal's free service, call 508-797-1117. Again, the number is 508-797-1117, or email info@audiojournal.org, or go to our website at www.audiojournal.org. Audio Journal is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is a public service announcement from the Massachusetts Association for the Blind. The Massachusetts Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired provides assistive technology training for persons with visual impairments. If you or a family member are interested in receiving one-on-one specialized training, please contact 617-991-7073 or email atcenter@mabcommunity.org.
More than 1 million English words. Next up, word nerd Steph Donoff with some of them worth talking about.
With a vocabulary hovering around the 1 million word mark, English has words for everything. In fact, we even have a word that means that you forgot that one in a million word that means exactly what you want to say. You know the feeling the word is on the tip of your tongue and stays there? That word is lethologica. Again, that's lethologica. It comes from the Greek word lethe, meaning forgetfulness, and logos, which means word. In other words, I forgot the word. It's not usually a problem. It is something we all go through, especially if we are tired. But it does tend to happen more frequently as we get older. But there is another Greek-based word describing a similar but more problematic condition. That word is lethonomia. The letho comes from lethe, again for forget, and nomia means name. That can be really embarrassing, especially when it's your boss's name you forget, or someone you've known for years. And you know, it may be why so many people, especially long married people, call their spouses Sweet Lips or Sugar Bear or, you know.
That's enough talk about words. Let's go back to listening to them.